Hi, this is Ken Savacco, the pastor here at Rogers Assembly, and I just want to thank you for joining our audio podcast today. I hope that this message makes you feel connected, that it allows you to grow in your faith, and it helps you understand that God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Shalom. It's a it's a pleasure to be here today and to celebrate the Lord with you. And but I want to use this time to share my heart for the Jewish people. Obviously, they're in the news. Israel is in the news, and I think that it's an important time to reflect on, first of all, who the Jewish people are and why most Jews don't believe in Jesus. And so I'll be sharing about that. But before I do that, I want to share a little bit about our ministry and how we're reaching Jewish people for the Lord. Of course, I'm an Assemblies of God missionary, a missionary to the Jewish people. And I first want to thank you for your support. I was telling the pastor, it's only about 10% of the Assemblies of God churches in Ohio that support our ministry. So you're one of very few that support us. So thank you for your support. The ministry of Rock of Israel was founded by my father. He grew up in an Orthodox home, and so it was a traumatic experience for him to become a believer in Jesus. He was ostracized from family. As I said, most Jews don't believe in Jesus. And you'd think that curtail his efforts in evangelism, but he was zealous for Jesus. And so he went to Bible school, and he became a missionary. He was first a missionary in Haiti, and that's where I was born. I bet you've never met a Jewish Haitian before. And then he went to Africa, and it was while he was in Africa that God spoke to his heart to come back and start ministry to his own people. And so he started Rock of Israel Ministries in the Los Angeles area. After I graduated from college, he asked me to help him. I did, and later I became president of the ministry and moved it from California, Los Angeles area, to Cincinnati. And so that's our home base today. Many people ask me why. Why would I move from sunny Southern California to, Cincinnati? In fact, one of our staff thought he was moving to the North Pole. But, and when it gets cold, I wonder why I did that too. But fortunately, it's pretty nice weather right now. And so, but we began to do street outreaches in many different cities. And that was why we moved to Cincinnati. We wanted to be more centrally located. And I found out that 70%, think about this, 70% of the U.S. population is east of the Mississippi River. 70%. And so Cincinnati is right in the middle of the area east of the Mississippi River. And I think the other 30% is in Los Angeles. But anyways, it was a good move. And as I said, we began to go to many different cities, handing out thousands of tracts. In fact, for a number of years, we gave out about 100,000 tracts each year. Praise God for Light for Lost Ministries that helps with literature. And but over the years, it's become difficult for two main reasons. One, it's hard to find people who will volunteer and help us to go out on the streets and hand out tracts. A lot of people are afraid or whatever the reason. So that became a difficulty. Our teams got smaller and smaller. And then the second reason is that now every time you go out on the street, people are going by you with cell phones on and they're talking, they're texting, they're listening to earbuds. And it's just impossible or almost impossible to get their attention on the street. And so God gave us a different way to reach Jewish people. And that is to go to state fairs. And so this is now our ministry. We go to fairs. We have a booth called Products of Israel. The products draw Jewish people. And Jewish people come to our booth, and we get to share with them that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, I have a short video I'd like to show you so you can see how we're engaging Jewish people in conversations about Jesus.
Since 2006... Rock of Israel Ministries has found a unique way to reach both Jewish and Gentile people with the gospel. In the marketplace, we've been renting booths at state and county fairs. However, one of the best fairs we have found is actually not in the U.S., but in Toronto, Canada. It is at the Canadian National Exposition, also called the CNE, and it has 1.5 million attendees each year. Toronto is a city much like New York, with a very diverse population. We meet more Jewish people here than any other fair. And with our many Jewish and biblical products out there on the table, including books, Art of the Covenant models, jewelry, and more, it brings many curious people over to us each day, much like fishing and bait. For instance, last year at this fair, we were able to share the Messiah with over 325 Jewish people who came to our booth. That number is not even including the hundreds more non-Jewish people we speak with as well. And even if they do not stop to talk, hundreds more will stop dead in their tracks and read our large banner, which says, "Jesus made me kosher." Jewish people will stand there for a minute or more and read how Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. Of course, many non-Jewish people stop to read it as well. We cannot tell you how productive this unique banner has been over the years. For those who do come over and talk with us, most will take a bookmark, which is a copy of the banner, "Jesus Made Me Kosher," and listen as we share how we are Jews who believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, promised to our people. Of course, there will be some who are open to the message. If they are open, we will give them a free book of Jewish testimonies or something similar. Conversely, there are always some who oppose us being there as well. Sometimes we get a visit from local rabbis who seek to stop what we are doing. They show up with video cameras and argue with us. Nevertheless, we are sure that the gospel will go forward no matter what the situation. And the booth in Toronto is just one of the many booths we have rented and continue to rent across North America each year, armed with good volunteer staff who love God and love the Jewish people. With all that being said, may we ask for your help in reaching people?
So, this is how we're reaching Jewish people, is to go to state and county fairs. Obviously, we pick fairs where we know we'll meet Jewish people. And so, this Tuesday, I'll be headed down to South Florida. The South Florida fair begins on Friday and goes to the end of the month. And so, some of these fairs are almost a month long. And so, it takes a lot of our time, effort, money. We're doing that this month. Next month is the state fair in Tampa, Florida. And then the following month is the Miami-Dade County Fair in Florida. We know when to go to Florida. We also will be going to Ohio State Fair. So if you happen to be going there, please look us up. And we're planning on 8 different fairs this year. And as I said, some of them are long, not just the normal 10 days or 2 weeks. And I think the one in San Diego lasts more than a month. It starts on the beginning of June and goes all the way to July 5th. And so, the fairs are our main way of talking to people personally, but another way that we are reaching Jewish people is through the internet. We do ads on Facebook, on Google, reaching Jewish people with the message that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. And though we are missionaries to the Jews of America, 6 million Jews in America, there are 7 million Jews in Israel. So we have almost as many Jewish people here in America as there are in Israel. But through the internet, we're able to reach Jews all over the world. The second area of ministry for Rock of Israel is what I'm doing today, helping Christians understand that the Bible's a Jewish book. Did you know that? Written by Jews. The whole Bible, Old and New Testament, written by Jews, helping Christians understand the Bible and the culture and context it was written. Of course, it was inspired and written by the Holy Spirit, but through the Jews. And so we're helping Christians see Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus said, "Moses wrote about me." And so we're helping Christians see Jesus in the Old Testament, seeing that the Bible is a Jewish book. The third area of ministry, also we hope to instill in the hearts of Christians a love for Israel, a love for the Jewish people. God loves Israel. It isn't that he used to love Israel. He loves Israel. And he wants Jewish people to know the Messiah. The third area of ministry is the materials that we bring. One, as I was sharing with the pastor, one of the reasons we have all that on the table is to help people see what we bring to the fairs that draw Jewish people to us. The jewelry, the prayer shawls, the shofars, and all of that. But I want to speak to you about five of the books that are on the table. The first book is a Bible. Now, I know you have a Bible. This is called the Complete Jewish Bible, Study Bible, actually. A study Bible because it has a lot of Jewish or Messianic theologians that have given articles to put in here. But it is the Bible translated so that you will see the Jewishness. That not only do you know that it's a Jewish book, but you will see Hebrew words and context of Scripture. And even in here is idioms. You know what an idiom is? It's a figure of speech. So if I said it's raining cats and dogs, you know I'm not talking about animals, right? That's an idiom. And even Jesus used idioms. He didn't mean the words that were said. He meant what everybody knew by those words. And so some of those are translated also. Another book that I want to mention is a book called Jewish Faith and the New Covenant. Now, this is almost an encyclopedia of Jewish customs and traditions and how they point to Jesus. The Jewish feasts, the Jewish wedding. What a beautiful picture of Jesus and his bride. So it covers so many different topics. And by the way, it was written by Ruth Spector LaSalle. That's my aunt, so it must be good. A book that also deals with some of those idioms and difficult words is Understanding the Difficult Words of Jesus. And then a book called Betrayed is a testimony of a man whose daughter comes home from college to tell him that she's become a believer in Jesus and he feels she has betrayed him, his wife, his family, his ancestors, his religion. And so he sets out to prove to his daughter that Jesus couldn't be the Messiah of Israel, but in the process he becomes a believer. And so it's a wonderful true story. And the last book I always recommend is Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. It's the tragic story of the church and the Jewish people. And it will help you understand why Jewish people are afraid of Christians or assume that Christians hate them. And so this book will make you cry as you read this because the history is not good. And if I were to read to you, most people would say that any anti-Semitism or any things done to the Jewish people wasn't done by Christians, couldn't be done by Christians. How can you be a Christian and hate anyone? Well, I'm sure you're aware of Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation in the 16th century. He had some terrible, terrible things to say about the Jews. In fact, what he said is what Hitler tried to do. And so this book is a book that I wish every Christian would read. It will help you know how to pray for the Jewish people. All right, enough commercial. Let me say there are three reasons I hope you stop and look at the table. Number one, some of this material will... I need to get my notes. Some of the material will help you understand and the Bible and all of that. Some of this material you won't find in your bookstore. In fact, your bookstore probably closed, right? And so this is a good opportunity to get these books or the material. The second reason is that whatever you purchase supports our ministry. To go to those fairs, we can't just show up. We have to pay for that opportunity. And some of the fairs are very expensive. In fact, the one in Miami is going to cost $4,000. The one in Canada, $5,000. And that doesn't include our travel, lodging, meals, all the other expenses of a ministry. And so your purchase of these items will support the outreaches that we're doing this year. And by the way, I came prepared if you did not. I have an app on my phone to take your credit card, so I'm ready if you are. And the third reason is every item you buy is one less, so I'm going to have to pack up afterwards. So help me out. All right, so this morning, as I said, I want to help you understand about the Jewish people, their barriers, why they don't believe in Jesus, and why you need to be reaching Jewish people with the gospel. And I'm sure some of you said, well, I've never met a Jew. I would say, have you met Jesus? He's Jewish. All right, so five reasons. Five reasons that you should be involved in Jewish evangelism. The first reason is that Jewish people are neglected and misunderstood. Now, how can I say this when there are, you know, there's Christian radio, there's Christian TV, there's churches everywhere? How can I say that Jews are neglected? Well, they're neglected because of bad doctrine. They're neglected because of false theology. One of the many false doctrines or theologies is that Jews can't be saved. That God is finished with them, or that they had their chance and they rejected Jesus. This is a false doctrine. This is a false theology. First of all, can Jews be saved? Of course they can be saved. Who were the first Christians? Jews. Who am I? I'm Jewish and I believe in Jesus. Of course they can be saved. Is God finished with them? No, never. In fact, God says in Jeremiah, where he promises the new covenant to Israel, by the way, the new covenant was promised to Israel, he says that as long as there's a sun, as long as there's a moon, his love for Israel remains. And I think you, even though it's cloudy, you know the sun is still shining somewhere. And so we know that God's love for Israel remains. The idea that they had their chance, let me ask you, how many chances has God given you? More than one? So the idea that they had their chance, or they blew it, or they rejected Jesus, is a false reason to believe that Jews can't be saved. There are people who believe that the Jews are under God's judgment for killing Jesus. This is another false doctrine. First of all, did they kill Jesus? No. Now you may say, well, the Bible says they did. The fact is, Jesus said, no one takes my life, right? You remember that? He said, no one takes my life. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Can you kill God? No, you can't kill God. And so the idea that the Jews killed Jesus is a false doctrine. And yet, they have been maligned and persecuted for that very reason. People, Christians, believe that the Jews killed Jesus. And yet, Jesus says on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so I believe in prayer, and I obviously believe in Jesus' prayer. They're not under judgment for killing him. They are under judgment, as every single person is under judgment for sin. Everyone. Everyone. But they are not under judgment for killing Jesus. Other false doctrines are that, maybe you've heard this, that all Jews are saved. This is false. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And guess who he was talking to? Jews. And so the idea that they are saved apart from Jesus is a false doctrine. And yet, there are people, even a famous TV evangelist, who has promoted this idea. There are people who think that there are two covenants. And this is why some people believe that Jews are saved. They think that they're saved under the old covenant and Christians are saved under the new covenant. Well, I just told you that the new covenant was promised to Israel. So the new covenant was first to Israel and then shared with the world. But there are not two covenants, only one covenant, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus' blood for our sins. That's the only covenant. A covenant is an agreement where there is a sacrifice, and Jesus is that sacrifice of the new covenant. And then there one more, that the church is the new Israel. Again, false doctrine. The church did not replace Israel. It's actually the other way around. Paul says that Gentiles are grafted into the olive tree, that Gentiles are grafted in to Israel. He says in Ephesians, you who were afar off, obviously, the Gentiles were following after many other gods, and he says, you who were afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus and made part of the commonwealth of Israel. And so they didn't take its place. They didn't. The Christians are not the new Israel. It's that Christians have been brought in and made part in the inheritance of Israel. And so the false doctrines have kept the gospel from the Jewish people. There are also stereotypes that have kept the gospel from the Jewish people. There are some people who think that all Jews are rich. They're not. If you think that, you've got a wrong idea. That they all look alike, they don't. If you go to Israel today, you'll see Jews from 100 different countries, some from Ethiopia that are black, and some from Latin America, and some from Russia. So they do not all look alike, and they definitely do not think alike. Don't think that all Jews believe the same thing. If you think that all Jews are following the law, or that all Jews are religious, or that all Jews believe in God, you're wrong. These are false stereotypes. And these have kept the gospel because people are afraid to witness to Jewish people. Or they think that because so much has happened to them, they don't want to impose or offend. But the gospel needs to be shared, no matter what. Second reason that you need to be involved is that the Jews have a distorted view of Jesus. So they have a false image of Jesus. They think Jesus is someone else, that he isn't the Messiah. Now this has come about because, first of all, by tradition, they've been taught by their rabbis, by their parents, that Jesus is not for them, that he's the God of the Gentiles, that he's a false prophet, that he is that he died. His disciples made all this up. And so they have a distorted view of Jesus because of tradition what they believe about history. They also have a distorted view of Jesus because of persecution. They have been, as I said earlier, they have been persecuted in the name of Jesus. They've been called Christ killers. My father was called a Christ killer. Now let me ask you, what did he have to do with the killing of Jesus? I mean, today people call Jews Christ killers. It doesn't make sense, and yet that's what they believe. They believe the Jews are Christ killers. And so persecution. I'm sure you're aware that anti-Semitism is raising up its ugly head in America. I am sure you've heard of the killings at synagogues last year in Pittsburgh. This year, in a home celebrating Hanukkah. This is getting worse, not better. This is a time when anti-Semitism is growing in America. Who would have believed it? After the Holocaust, who would have believed that this could happen? And yet, it is happening. And so persecution has given them a view of Jesus. They think that this is the reason they are being persecuted. This person, Jesus. And so no wonder they have a distorted view of Jesus, because remember, Jesus cried over Israel. He loves Israel. He, in fact, told a story, a parable, and said that people would be judged on the basis of how they treated his brothers. And who are his brothers in the flesh? Jews. And so the nations are going to be judged based on how they treated Israel. Remember, God said, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And so persecution has given the Jews a distorted picture of Jesus. And then the third reason of this distortion is a little perhaps difficult to understand. I would call it the wrong presentation of the gospel. The gospel message today, simplified, is God loved the world. He sent his son. He died. He rose from the dead. If you believe that, you're saved and going to heaven. Sounds like the gospel, simple gospel. But there is so much left out. There is so much left out of that that there are people, some say, that are inoculated against the true gospel. They think they're going to heaven, but they don't know Jesus. And so, the presentation of the gospel has given the Jews a false Jesus. They don't believe he's the Messiah because he doesn't look like the Messiah, or at least not how he's presented. He doesn't look like the one who's coming. The one who the angel said, you will call him Yeshua because he will save his people. That's what the angel said. His name means salvation. He came to save his people. But that's not the presentation of the gospel today. Nor is he presented as the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, the king of the Jews. That isn't presented. And so the presentation of the gospel has distorted the view of Jesus. And I think the reason for that is that Christians have a false image of Jesus. I hate to say that, but I think that's part of the problem. That many Christians don't have a false image of Jesus. They don't know he's Jewish. They don't know that he said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so the image of Jesus is distorted for Jewish people because many Christians have a distorted view of Jesus. Number three, you need to reach the Jewish people because they are hungry for the supernatural. They may not even believe in God, but they have this hunger in them because God created it in them. It's called a void that needs to be filled. And every single person, including the Jews, have this void in their lives until it's filled with Jesus. And so they're hungry. I think everybody is interested in the supernatural. All we have to do is look at all the movies that are being produced. There's, you know, superpowers, there's witchcraft, there's what do you call it, aliens. Everybody's interested in this supernatural. And guess what? We serve a supernatural God. And we should be sharing that with Jewish people and everyone. there are Jews that are involved in the cults. In fact, I saw a statistic a long time ago. I don't know what the statistic is today, but a long time ago I saw a statistic that said that one-third, think about this, one-third of American Buddhists are Jewish. One-third of American Buddhists are Jews. And so they're searching, but in the wrong places. The third reason is that it is their destiny. It is their destiny. God called them. Did you know that before Abraham, there weren't any Jews? You know, Noah wasn't Jewish. Adam wasn't Jewish. God called Abraham and created out of him a nation that he would use to bless the world. He created them. In fact, another way of looking at John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world, he created the Jews. Because he wanted the world. He loves the world, right? He doesn't just love the Jews. He loves the world. So what did he do? He created the Jews to be a light to the nations, to the Gentiles. And so their reason for being, their destiny, is to be a light to the nations. But how can they be a light to the nations if they don't know the light of the world? So they need to know Jesus so they can fulfill the calling for which they were created. And they won't hear about Jesus unless you tell them. Unless we tell them. And so, for reasons of destiny, you should be involved in Jewish evangelism. If you want the world to be reached, if you are indeed worried about the world, then you need to be worried about Jews. That Israel would know their calling, for they were created for this purpose. Number four, now I better read the scripture on this one because you're not going to like it. There is a debt. You owe the Jews. And the scripture is Romans 15, verses 25 through 27. Paul says, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. By the way, who are the saints? These are Jews in Jerusalem. This is before the destruction of Jerusalem, before the temple was destroyed. And so he's talking about Jews, Jewish believers in Jesus. That's who he's talking about. I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. And he says in the next verse, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. See, I told you they were poor Jews. So he's taking this contribution for the poor Jewish believers in Jerusalem. This contribution from these churches, in these believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And he says, it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. That's what Paul says, that these believers in Macedonia and Achaia are indebted to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. And he says, it pleased them indeed, they are their debtors, for if the Gentiles, he makes a very broad statement here, if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, of the Jewish people's spiritual things, their duty, obligation, is also to minister to them in material things. So he says, this is right and proper. These people in Macedonia should be giving gifts to the poor Jewish believers in Jerusalem. They owe them. Well, if Paul can say that, I think I stand on solid ground to say that because of the spiritual blessings that Gentiles have received, they owe the Jews at the very minimum a return of that gospel message. And so, because you have received the gospel, because of the Jewish missionaries, Paul and Silas and Timothy and all the missionaries, because you received that message, You owe it to the Jewish people to return that message. If you don't like that debt, we see in Genesis 12:3, as I quoted earlier, that God has made a promise to you and to everyone. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. He said it to Abraham. He said it to Isaac. He said it to Jacob. It is to Israel that he has made this promise that those that bless Israel will be blessed. And those who curse her, they will be cursed. And so, if you don't like the idea of having a debt, know that you will be blessed if you bless Israel. And what greater blessing could you be than to share eternal life? Is there any greater blessing than that? Eternal life. There's no greater blessing. So if you share with the Jewish people eternal life, God has promised you a blessing. And of course, we don't have to do it for a blessing. Just to know that God wills it should be enough. That God wants you to share. That Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. It's not only the pastor, it's not only the missionary, but Jesus said to those who are filled with the Spirit, you shall be my witnesses. And so it is your obligation, not only to the Jews, definitely to the Jews, but also to all. The fifth reason is that I believe that Jewish salvation, Israel's salvation, brings world revival. So if you want revival, everybody's talking about revival. If you want revival, you need to be praying for the Jews to be restored because God has promised that. Listen to Paul in Romans 11:11. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, listen to this. He says, now, if their fall is riches to the Gentiles, or the world, is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Do you get the picture? Their fall brought riches to Gentiles. How much more will come to Gentiles with the Jewish fullness? That's what Paul says. He says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. And in verse 15, we get a picture of end-time revival, for it says, for if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? We know that when a person comes back from death to life, we call that resurrection, right? Where Jesus was resurrected. Well, that's what it says. With Israel's acceptance comes life from the dead. And so if you want world revival, you need to be involved in reaching Jewish people. Romans 11:25-29 says that Israel will be saved. So that is a promise. We know that Israel will be saved, but God wants to use us to do that. We know the end of the story. We know there is victory, right? And so we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be concerned about Third World War. God is in control. And Israel will be saved. It also says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. To those who believe that God is finished with Israel, Paul says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. If you don't believe God's going to keep His promises to Israel, you stand on very shaky ground for your salvation. And so He keeps His promises. He says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He also says in Matthew 23, verse 37 to 39. Well, I'll just read 39. It talks about Jesus crying over Jerusalem, how He wanted to gather them as a hen gathers her chicks, and hear His compassion for His people. And He says, "For I say to you, you shall see Me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. That is a messianic saying. And so He is saying when they recognize Him as the one who comes from the Lord, they will see Him. So do you want to see Jesus ruling and reigning on earth? Then the Jews need to recognize Him. And you can be furthering that day. Let me give you some quick practical steps to be involved. First of all, you've seen the signs on the roadway. This section of road was adopted by the Boy Scouts of America. You've seen signs like that on the highways? Well, if you can adopt a road, you can adopt a Jew. And that's what I want you to do. Adopt a Jew. Now, I don't want you to do this in the court system. All I want you to do is find a Jew to pray for. Do you believe in prayer? I do too. And I know that sometimes I don't see the answer to my prayer right away. In fact, there are some prayers I haven't seen answer. But I know God answers, right? So I might not get to see the answer, but He will answer, right? And so I am asking you to adopt a Jewish person in prayer. How many of you know someone Jewish? Just a couple of you. Youngstown. A lot of Jewish people in Cleveland. A lot of doctors. And so you might not know that you know a Jewish person. But even if you don't, you can find a Jew to pray for. There are many Jews in politics. You remember Kissinger, Albright, Bloomberg, and Sanders definitely need a lot of prayer. So there are a lot of Jews in politics. There's Jews in the entertainment field. I imagine there are many actors you didn't even know were Jews. William Shatner. Sarah Jessica Parker, maybe you knew she was Jewish. Barbara Streisand, Steven Spielberg. There are a lot of Jews in the entertainment field. In fact, I'm sure Adam Sandler needs a lot of prayer too. And so there are many Jews. Pick one. All I have to do is find 6 million Christians to pray for 6 million Jews in America. So that shouldn't be hard. There's many more millions Christians. And so find one and pray for their salvation. Pray diligently as if they are your relative, for they are your grafted into Israel. Pray for Rock of Israel Ministries. Thank you for your support. Appreciate that. Pray for my family. Pray for travel of our ministers. We took on 2 new ministers last year. Obviously, they need to raise their support or that won't last long. And so pray. Pray for our ministry. Pray that God leads you to Jewish people. I think that probably you've met some Jewish people. If you've been in any mall, you probably saw, the products of Israel, rather the Dead Sea products or things like that, cosmetics. Anyways, pray that God will lead you to Jewish people. But at the very least, pray for a Jew and pray for Israel, because God loves Israel. And it is becoming more and more difficult, more and more anti-Semitism, and so they need your prayers. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. And we were talking, maybe next time we'll do the Passover Seder, or at least a presentation like we did last time. But I wanted you to hear my heart for my people. God bless you.